welcome to Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Tuesday, April 18, 2023. Residents of the Sudanese capital Khartoum say families are going hungry while individuals with pre-existing conditions need urgent care.
It is extremely terrifying, we're just expecting death at any point of time, staying with my home, with my kids.
And authorities in South Sudan call on Sudanese military leaders to declare a ceasefire.
We call upon the Sudanese political leaders to be able to stop the war so that the bloodshed stops.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has called the leaders of Sudan's two warring factions and urged them to agree to a ceasefire as the death toll moves above 200. Blinken said Tuesday he spoke with the leaders of the warring factions a day after a U.S. diplomatic convoy was fired on in Sudan. He said no one was hurt, but added the incident elevates the urgency of a ceasefire. In addition, the European Union reports its ambassador in Khartoum was attacked in his home.
In the calls that I had this morning with Generals Hamedi and Burhan, I made very clear that any attacks, threats, dangers posed to our diplomats were totally unacceptable. This particular incident is still being investigated in terms of understanding exactly what happened. The initial reports that we have is that it was undertaken by forces associated with the RSF. And again, I made very clear in my conversation with General Hamedi that any attacks that endanger our diplomats are totally unacceptable. And I shared the same with General Burhan.
General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, known as Himiti, is the head of the Rapid Support Forces, and General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan commands the Sudan Armed Forces. Secretary Blinken's call to the two rivals was one of the many from the international community urging peace. Also, the United Nations top envoy to Sudan says he is in constant contact with both sides. Volker Pathies is the special representative for the UN Secretary General.
We are calling, of course, on both sides to stop the fighting immediately, to allow access access for aid workers, humanitarian aid workers, and to allow evacuations. We also strongly request both sides to respect the need to protect UN agencies, UN installations, embassies, aid workers, medical facilities.
He indicates that bringing the two sides to negotiate might be difficult.
There are objective difficulties with access to this country, and mediators would not easily be able to come here. And to be very honest, the two sides who are fighting are not giving the impression that they want a mediation for a peace between them right away. Rather, they are calling on the other side to give up or to surrender, or the other side to be disbanded.
Pathies also called for all sides to protect aid agencies to allow them to help civilians facing shortages of food, water, and health care.
WFP warehouses, WFP, UNICEF, UNDP, UNHCR, guest houses and offices have come into the crossfire, all being looted and destroyed by men with arms in Darfur in the last 48 hours, which makes it extremely difficult, if not impossible, for humanitarian agencies to deliver aid.
The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies says it is nearly impossible to provide humanitarian services around Khartoum and warned that the country's healthcare system was at risk of collapse. Still in Khartoum, the Sudanese capital, entered a fourth day of heavy fighting Tuesday, despite promises by both the military and the rapid support forces to honor a 24-hour ceasefire. Doctors in Sudan say the fighting has forced several hospitals to close down, as Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
That is the sound of an airstrike that hit close to military headquarters in Khartoum Tuesday morning, as the warring side showed no sign of upholding the ceasefire announced the day before. More fighting raged between the military and the rapid support forces around Khartoum International Airport and the presidential palace. The military remain in control of state television and radio. Meanwhile, the Sudanese Doctors' Union said the death toll has risen to more than 180, with nearly 2,000 others injured. The Sudanese Doctors' Syndicate Steering Committee also reported that 16 hospitals in Khartoum and other cities across the country have been shut down because of damage from the fighting or general insecurity. Several hospitals in Khartoum were evacuated, including Ashab, Ibn Sina, Bashair, Al-Turki, Al-Zaytuna, Imperial, Ashurta, Bahri, and Dr. Salma Center for Kidney Diseases. Others such as Fidel, Al-Baraha, and Haja Safi were out of service. Citizens here describe the closure of these health facilities as a humanitarian crime. In speaking to VOA this morning, Haysam Ibrahim, the Secretary General for the Sudanese Red Crescent Society, says their volunteers are having trouble accessing victims of the fighting at the moment. He says the warring parties need to allow some room for humanitarian activities to at least bury the dead bodies before Khartoum becomes an environmentally risky area. He says the health situation is not promising. There are people in the ICU who required immediate oxygen intervention. He says this should be a message to the warring parties to allow passage of medical assistance from the storage areas of the medical supply to the operational hospitals. Another Khartoum resident, Hassan Ibrahim, works as a nurse at Khartoum Teaching Hospital, one of the health facilities forced to shut down. He's speaking to VOA from his residence in Abu Adam neighborhoods. Ibrahim says he escaped downtown Monday morning after heavy shelling and random gunshot made it impossible to continue working in the hospital. He says the main Khartoum Teaching Hospital and the People's Hospital have been hard hit so much. Some health workers there lost their lives and others are injured. He says we also have some students in Khartoum University who have been stranded there for the past 4 days and they don't have anything to eat. Hapsa Azaki, a mother of five, says there has been no electricity or running water since Saturday. She describes to VOA the situation as unpredictable. There is no bread, she says, and we are only consuming what we had stocked for our Ramadan fasting, such as rice, lentils, macaroni, and other foods. She says nearby shops are open, but we cannot access the main market. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said in a statement Tuesday that aid efforts in Sudan have been interrupted in many areas due to widespread insecurity. It said there are many reports of humanitarian assets being looted. The World Health Organization warned that several of Khartoum's hospitals have run out of blood, transfusion equipment, intravenous fluids, and other vital medical supplies. Michael Atit for VOA News, Khartoum, Sudan.
Still in Sudan, a member of Sudan's Resistance Committee, an umbrella group of activists coordinating street protests, says families in Khartoum are in dire need of assistance. Muna Al-Tahir says some members of the Resistance Committee are helping desperate families with food, water, and providing medicine for individuals with pre-existing conditions. Al-Tahir says civilians are disappointed by the actions of the two military leaders who decided to fight on the streets of Khartoum.
It is extremely terrifying. Like, we're just expecting death at any point of time. I'm staying with my home with my kids, my brother, my sister, and other member of the extended family are here. We are living in Khartoum South, which is very close to the Rapid Defense Force camps. And I've been hearing the shots all over the place, around the clock, on the top of our head, and we're just sitting, doing nothing, like just getting scared, afraid, terrified.
And how about food supply? Because this is one of the issues that the humanitarian organizations are talking about, that most people who are in Khartoum are running out of supplies. Could you talk to us about your experience?
Yesterday, I went to the nearby shop because I have cash in hand, and I bought a couple of stuff. I have them here in my kitchen. But most of the people, especially people who are earning their loaf of bread day by day, they're really suffering because they don't have money to buy stuff. And most of the shops are closed, and just people are sitting. And this is Ramadan time, don't forget. And people are just like, some of them, they have just a couple of plates, you know, they eat during iftar time. But people are really in a very bad shape. Like, we are eating rice and lentils because we are afraid that electricity might go off at any point of time. So we did not buy like meat and chicken. And so we buy only dry stuff and we just cook them and eat.
Knowing the Sudanese culture of generosity and sharing the little they have, I lived in Khartoum, and during Ramadan, people bring food outside their gates so that anybody passing by can share with them during iftar. Is that still happening?
No, not at all. Like, because it's not safe to go outside of your house. It's not safe at all to go even to the nearby shop. So people sit down outside and take food out. This is quite dangerous. And the soldiers are around. They can even, like, they knock over the door and they break the houses, they steal food, they steal water. So we're closing our doors and sitting inside. Even, like, when people knock on our door, if we are not sure who's there, we will not open the door. And we know that people outside, they're hungry, asking for food, and we cannot give them food because we are not quite sure if they will come and just take food and go.
And what are the Sudanese doing to really de-escalate these two groups fighting? I mean, in Sudan, you have Shuyukh, you have the Grand Mufti, you have, you know, there are lots of religious leaders who could rain on these two to stop fighting during Ramadan. What are Sudanese doing?
This is not our war as a civilian. This is not our war, the change seekers. This is not our war, the one who made the revolution. This is between the rebel support force and the army. We have absolutely nothing to do with it, and we are paying for it. Like, this is between them. They're fighting, and they're killing each other, and we are also get affected by this. And we cannot do anything about it. We are peaceful people. We believe in peace. We are not carrying gun. We are not carrying anything. We are just sitting and waiting. You see how this is will end and where it will take us. We need peace, we need democracy, we need civil government, and we need prosperity for our nation. And those people are just making it because they don't want the civil government to take over. They don't want to prosper. They're seeking to support their own benefit, their own, like, business, their own. They want to be in power.
Talking about the people who have been spearheading the demonstrations in Khartoum asking for a civilian-led government, are you talking to each other? Are you, you know, strategizing?
We do talk to each other. The resistance committees now are being peaceful stuff as always and ever. They're supporting people by providing water for people who have no water, providing food, trying to get people to the hospital, try to do some first aid services for the people who are injured. So this is what we do, and we have always been doing that. So the resistance committee are quite active within the neighborhood, but because their movement is limited, they don't do much. But as much as they can do, they support people.
That's Muna Al-Tahir, member of the resistance committee. She spoke to me from Khartoum earlier today. Some South Sudanese and Sudanese living in Juba say they are anxious about the safety of their loved ones who are trapped in Khartoum due to the ongoing battle between paramilitary rapid support forces and Sudan armed forces. The one trader says a bomb hit a compound where his family stays in Khartoum, killing two sons of a neighbor. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayan reports from Juba.
The Sudanese capital Khartoum and other cities across Sudan witnessed fourth day of fighting. Some Sudanese and South Sudanese say they are concerned about the safety of their relatives caught up in the violence. Al-Nur Osman Muhammad, a Sudanese trader living in Juba, says he is restless since the fighting broke out in Khartoum on Saturday.
Two days ago, a bomb hit the compound in which the family lives and killed two children. My children are safe, but their condition is difficult with all the shops closed. There is no water, there is no electricity, and the situation is not good. War is bad with its consequences. We are against this war and hope that the generals who are fighting should think about the nation and sit down for a dialogue.
The Associated Press quotes UN envoy Volker Perthes as saying on Tuesday that at least 185 people have been killed and over 1,800 wounded since the fighting erupted. The dead and injured included both civilians and combatants. Osman says several Sudanese traders in Juba who have families in Khartoum have been monitoring televisions and social media platforms to monitor the situation of their loved ones in the Sudanese capital.
Sudanese people are restless as they struggle to follow the situation in Khartoum on social media, Facebook and WhatsApp. Every half an hour or an hour, people call their relatives to hear the situation and to hear what has happened. We are in a very bad situation.
Some South Sudanese who have relatives in Khartoum say they too are concerned about the safety of their relatives there. Martin Manuel, a resident of Juba, says some of his relatives are part of the people stuck in the middle of military confrontation in Khartoum.
So many people are trapped in their houses, including my little sister and my co-mother, who went to assist her daughter. So they are just there. They don't have water, they don't have... And their phone is going to... running out of power, but thank God I established contact with them last night, and the little girl told me she's fine, and the mother is fine, and my cousin wife, they are all fine, and we wish they will continue to be fine until modalities are made for them to be evacuated back to Juba.
Manuel says he trusts God for the safety of his little sister and other relatives caught up in the middle of Khartoum armed conflict. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, one South Sudanese says he's trapped in Khartoum. Find out more after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. If you are in Khartoum, please get in touch with our WhatsApp number. The number is +1 202-630-8011. Still on people trapped in Sudan amid heavy fighting, a 26-year-old South Sudanese university student, Nyok Machar, who is currently in Khartoum, says he is stuck with no access to proper food and only surviving on water and biscuits since Saturday, when fighting broke out in Khartoum. Machar's family come from South Sudan's town of Reng in Upper Nile State. Nabil Biagio spoke with Machar about the situation in Khartoum.
I'm in one of the area called South Sherek. It's just some few minutes from where the fighting is really going on. So I'm just indoors. We don't move out. Since we are shooting on people, and so we decided to just stay indoors. We hear gunshots. We hear cars, military cars moving, and also a plane, and these heavy artillery, like rockets. So there's a lot of noise. There's too much shooting. I am with friends. Seen on Saturday in the morning when these things happened, so everything was cut off, so we don't have access to the embassy. So I was in the market and this thing started, so I decided to rush home, and so we don't have any connection with the embassy, and we don't even know where to reach them. So we are just inside and just surviving on water sometimes. The shops are closed, so shops are closed. So it's only some few shops, like in the evening. That's where we can at least move out and get some biscuit for us, because the shop next to us is small, and it's lacking a lot of basic needs.
That's Nyok Machar, a South Sudanese national trapped in Khartoum. A Sudanese-American journalist, Ismail Kushkush, is also trapped in the Sudanese capital, Khartoum, following heavy fighting between the Sudan Armed Forces and the Rapid Support Forces. Here is what he has to say.
I'm in downtown Khartoum. I live 3 blocks away from the presidential palace. There's heavy fighting in this area. This area is mostly dominated by RSF soldiers. There are RSF soldiers outside the building that I live in. There are army forces coming from the east side of the street. The street that I live on, Jamhuriya Street, Republic Street, is one of the main battlegrounds in downtown Khartoum, along with Jama Street, University Street. The army headquarters is on the east end of the street, and kilometers down the road is the Republican Palace. The building that I live in is closer to the Republican Palace, but in essence, we're in the middle of the fighting. Mostly what I hear is machine guns, heavy artillery. Yesterday, the 17th seemed to be the heaviest day of fighting. I could hear fighter jets and the sounds of what I think are tanks. It's almost impossible to even look from my balcony. There are snipers in the building across, and I'm told that they've threatened people in this very same building that I live in who tried to take photos. So it's incredibly difficult to get a visual of what's happening.
That's Ismail Kushkush, a South Sudanese-American journalist who is stuck in Khartoum. A resident of Khartoum says gunfire and heavy shelling could still be heard for the fourth day as the two groups fight each other. One Sudanese who spoke to VOA this past hour from Khartoum says most people in the country are blaming the leader of the Rapid Support Forces, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, for fighting in the capital, Khartoum. Walid Adam says ordinary Sudanese men and women want an end to the fighting which erupted in the capital on Saturday. Adam says residents of Khartoum who have been locked inside their houses since Saturday need urgent help.
As I speak with you right now, I still can hear gunfights going out. I can feel artillery shells being fired in the distance, but that's much for the ceasefire. For the people themselves, they have to go out. They have to get everyday things like bread, medications, food, these kind of stuff for Ramadan. So they are trying to make their best, but I don't believe that anyone here is believing or having faith or trust in the ceasefire.
We are hearing stories of people who are trapped in their houses and they're not able to go out.
Unfortunately, holy God, this is a couple of artillery shells being fired right now as I speak with you. The thing is, the downtown Khartoum, the center of Khartoum, it's a really locked up place, and there's a lot of checkpoints and heavy gunfights were going out there. There were a lot of cryouts for people trapped inside. They went out for 48 hours without having access to food, water, and some of them, unfortunately, lost their lives, and they have injured people out there. I have heard that the ceasefire itself was planned to evacuate those people from the center, but Unfortunately, until this moment, I haven't heard a word that they have been evacuated or not. So
that was Waleed Adam, a resident of Khartoum, who spoke with me this past hour. The South Sudan government, which brokered the Sudanese peace deal known as the Juba Peace Agreement, says it is following with deep concern the unfolding violent conflict in Sudan. South Sudan's acting Minister for Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation, Deng Dao Deng, says President Salva Kiir is in close contact with the leaders of the Sudan to persuade them to de-escalate the violence. For VOA News, Deng Dao Deng reports from Juba.
A Sudanese doctors group say 97 civilians were killed during the 3 days of fighting around Khartoum International Airport, the headquarters of the Sudan Armed Forces and the presidential palace. Deng Dao Deng, South Sudan's acting minister for foreign affairs and international cooperation, says President Salva Kiir is in touch with the Sudanese leaders to persuade them to de-escalate the violence and return to dialogue.
His Excellency President Salva Kiir Mayardit has been in contact with both sides. He has been in contact with President Burhan. He has been also in contact with the deputy, Mohamed Meti Daglo, to encourage and to restrain them, for them to cease fire and to the cessation of hostilities and to create also a corridor for humanitarian and for access to health facilities to those who are wounded.
Deng notes that South Sudan remains the main mediator of the Sudan peace process and calls for an immediate ceasefire and dialogue between the warring parties to resolve pertinent issues which led to the current violence in the country.
We call upon the Sudanese political leaders to be able to stop the war so that the bloodshed stops. It is our major concern at South Sudan that peace return to Sudan.
On Sunday, the Regional African Bloc Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or EGAD, leaders including Kenyan President William Ruto, South Sudan President Salva Kiir, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni, President Ismail Omar Gwale of Djibouti, and Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud of Somalia held a virtual meeting to discuss the crisis in Sudan. Deng says the meeting resolved to send presidents of Kenya, South Sudan, and Djibouti to broker a ceasefire in Sudan.
They are waiting for the situation to subside in Sudan. Now, as soon as the situation subsides, these head of states and government will be visiting Sudan very soon.
Marial said President Kiir urged international partners to use their leverage to pressure Sudanese military leaders to end the fighting. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Juba.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
Telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
And that's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Nabil Biagio, and engineer, Kayla William, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.